got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, comedy writer and dramedy spider, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I am also a comedy writer. Not as much a dramedy spider as I used to be.
Oh, no?
Yeah. It's not that I lost the drama part, just the bug.
Yeah. Oh, I get the that. Bug that's for real it. Good stuff. That's good.
Dramedy spider's great, Dan. And that's not even like a good joke. It's hacky on my part because technically spiders are not bugs. They're arachnids.
They're arachnids. That's true.
But, you know, you get the bug. You lose the bug.
Yeah. No, the bug thing works. The bug thing will play. Shout out in the comments if the bug thing didn't play for you.
Let's thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best ones available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ.
I'm getting a lot of messages, a lot of chatter on Twitter about how Dan's account's missing.
Oh, really? I thought we told them not to do that.
We did. We told them strictly not to do that. I also got a lot of Talarac chatter, people telling me how to fix my Talarac, trying to tell me what anchors are, like I don't fucking know what an anchor is.
I'll pull up the text and share it with you after this, but it's so funny. My dad texted me a few days ago and was like, I have some advice for Soren for his Talarac thing, and he gave some like very useful advice, but just reading the text, I just thought, what the fuck are you talking about? Because I do not know what happens on this show. I have no idea what we discuss.
Yeah,
ever.
You sort of black out in the middle of it. And then people bring it up later and you're like Jason will say, Jason Pargin will ask us stuff about it. And you're like, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, why is my, is my dad and Soren, are they on a separate chat?
We do a little WhatsApp. We've got a group that's, you know, now that I think about it, it's all your whole family and not you.
Okay.
But, like, Marnie's on it. I shouldn't use people's names, huh?
You could use Marnie's name, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, Marnie's on it. And the kids are on it, which is good. But, yeah, I don't know why we didn't include you.
Yeah.
Huh. I never really thought about it.
That's fine. It seems like you guys have everything pretty much in hand at this point.
Yeah, things are good. Do you want to share whatever advice your dad gave?
I mean, it'll just take me a second to pull it up on text.
That's fine. I'll tell you in the meantime that there's a downstairs bathroom in our house that I redid all of those types of fixtures. Like, not the water fixtures. The sink stays the same, but everything now matches the sink. Like, I put in new mirrors. I took off the old mirror, which is a mirror that's glued to a wall is a sketchy thing to remove because they're giant, too. And then painted, put in new light fixtures, and then put in new towel racks, toilet paper dispenser, like all that hand towel racks. And the entire time I'm doing it, I'm thinking, I think I could come up with like 12 different ways this would be better. I could come up with like a better way to build one of these than what they're giving me.
Wow. I can't track down the text.
That's all right.
And while I was looking for it, I didn't hear anything you said. It doesn't, just based on your tone, it didn't seem like there was...
No new information.
Yeah, and it felt like whatever my response was, which I think was wow, it seems like that was...
That's fine.
Yeah, that was fine. Okay, great.
I did put in some good anchors. These will stay in the wall for several years. These are fine, but
yeah,
still not the best system. Speaking of the best system, Dan, do you want to jump like directly into the show or do you want to...
Yeah, let's get into the show.
Okay, then I have a quick question for you.
Hit me.
How much time have you spent thinking about the alphabet?
Oh, gosh. Like,
what percentage of your day do you dedicate to the alphabet?
I would say the real answer is that I don't dedicate too much of my day to the alphabet, but it does come up.
Okay.
Because I don't have perfect mental recall of where everything fits within the alphabet. So I do find myself humming a part of the song every once in a while when I'm trying to order things.
That's great news, because I do the same thing. And having a child that's, you know, knows the alphabet now, but is like also like still a little fuzzy on placement of letters and stuff like that. He's got to do it. And I watch him do it. And also I don't know if I've ever talked about this in the podcast. He didn't talk until very late. And so like, there are certain sounds that he had a lot of trouble with in the alphabet, that then he's come back from now. But like at the time, I remember thinking about how we group letters in the alphabet, where everything is, and thinking, this is fucking nonsense. The order of the structure of the alphabet seems absolutely crazy to me.
No, it makes sense, because you start with A. A is the first letter. So obviously that's where you'd start.
I started like researching it because I was so... I was so bewildered by it. And for anyone who doesn't understand what I'm talking about, the placement of the letters specifically in our alphabet that we chose to put A first and Z last, and where we put all the other letters in between. There's like a real, if you look at like a periodic table or some other organization, there's like a real fluency to it. There's like, it's elegant. Like you're going to order your gases and your metals in different places. And like our alphabet does not do that. Our vowels couldn't be more spread apart. They're like hidden. Like all the letters that you absolutely need in every single word in the English language, we've sort of like tucked away in these special little spots. It's like they're separated by four letters, six letters, six letters in our alphabet. I'm not including Y in that. And the whole system has like seven parts. Like when you sing it, you're singing in seven, you have like seven chunks. And then instead of like... everyone gets hazy on the back end, and like LMNOP is maybe the hardest thing for kids to deal with. It's like one of the biggest contentions they have when they're four or five, just like figuring out how to get through that LMNOP. Mm-hmm. It's not a great system. And then we don't front load it. Like we have a lot of letters that we use very regularly that we need all the time. Like you could put all your vowels first, then you put the other ones like that you use a lot, B and C and S and T. And we don't do that. Like we have... for whatever reason, R, S, and T are like on the back nine. Like we put them on the B sides, and like those are some of our most valuable letters. And then you can at the end, what we really should be doing is just like throwing in all the X's and Q's and things like that. Which, you know, a lot of them are there, but like K has no business being up front. Mm-hmm. And I sat there just like one night, just thinking about this in a way that was keeping me up. Where I was like, why do we do this? And so I started researching it, trying to figure out why we had it the way that we did. And it's a tough question to ask the internet, by the way, because
I'm laughing. I'm trying hard not to laugh directly into the mic, but every once in a while on this podcast, I find myself wanting to interject to say, quick question, what are you talking about?
Are you really feeling that right now?
Yeah. And I know you're ramping up to something, but when you dip into like, here's where we should be putting the letters. That's when my brain's like, what's going on? What does he mean?
Oh, okay. Well, this isn't really going a very special place. I'm trying to like set the groundwork for why I keep thinking about this. In thinking about it, can you think of like a logical reason that we would put the letters in the way that we do? Because there are things also called like velar sounds that you learn when your child is in speech therapy, where it's like these sounds that you make in the back of your mouth. Your tongue is like doing the work in the back, like K, K, K and
yeah.
G. It's like slapping the back of your throat, essentially. And it's not like we're grouping by noise. We're not grouping by vowel. We're not grouping by how frequently any of the letters are used. And it makes sense for like a keyboard. We understand that a keyboard was elegantly thought out. They were like with typewriters, they were like, you can't put all your best letters together because the keys can't keep up and they'll block each other. Like they'll hit each other as people type. So you got to spread those out. So that it takes like that extra fraction of a second for you to reach your finger over.
Right.
But the alphabet turns out was, go ahead.
I would, to answer your question, I would assume, having done zero research on this, I would assume that it is lined up this way in a way that seems arbitrary to us because it was at the whims of some king or emperor at some point. Like so much of our lives are built around the preference of the richest person in the year 300 or whatever. And now we're all stuck with like, oh, 12 inches is a foot because that's what the king said. So I assumed it was possibly that. And then my other immediate thought on the alphabet is like, the randomness, the arbitrariness is the point to me. I feel like we would get so bogged down deep into the weeds if linguistic scientists a million years ago, or whenever the past was, 100 years ago, if they sat down and they're like, well, let's all decide what the most important letters are, and they decided vowels, or they decided the letters that appear in the most words. I guess it all seems like that is a slippery slope to some kind of dominance that I can't predict, but would make sense in retrospect. So I think the arbitrariness or the seeming arbitrariness is sort of good. It somehow feels Platonic ideal democratic to me.
Bro, fascinating. You like it.
I do.
You love the alphabet.
I'm kind of an abecedarian.
I feel like Pat Sajak could easily make a better alphabet. Just like Wheel of Fortune does a really good job of being like, look, let's be honest. These are the letters that matter. These are the ones that everybody cares about. The rest can fuck off. And they're right. Like there are just certain letters that in English language and has since the beginning of English, we just use a bunch more. But you're not too far off from what I gather.
Hell yeah.
The really unsatisfying answer is that nobody knows, but there's there's what they think it is that the very earliest ideas of the alphabet came about in Egypt a long time ago during like the Bronze Age. It sort of followed in the tail of hieroglyphics, and they had that's when they really developed a letter for each sound. And then ever since then, we've just been tracing that alphabet across different cultures where we're like, oh, they've got an alphabet. Okay, well, let's see what's the approximate for us. Ah, they have an ah sound. Okay, we'll do that first too. And like, we've just been tracing it. And it went through the Phoenicians, went through the Greeks, it went through Romans. Like it just kept going through all these big empires. And everyone along the way was like, no, the first one's the best one. That's the one we'll be using. And they've just continued to trace over it. And that's it. And that's all we have.
I certainly remember, now that I'm thinking about the alphabet seriously for the first time in a very long time, learning the alphabet in Italian class in middle school. And the teacher was just like, yeah, they have 21 letters. And I was like, but there's 26 letters in words. And like, no, it's different. I was like, well, what the fuck are we doing then?
Yeah, I think
we haven't even agreed on the right amount of letters.
Spanish has like 28.
And then, come on.
And some of them are like, yeah, for real cheats. One of them is two letters together. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, you're not allowed to do that. Well, I guess we kind of do a W. Although they call it double V. They've got double V. But then they've got like the two L's together. They've got an N with an accent, the N-Y.
Yeah.
But they also have K in their alphabet, which blows me away. Because
we didn't have an Italian.
Yes, and I can't think, just off the top of my head, I can't think of a single Spanish word except maybe kilometers that has a K in it. There's like, you don't need it in that language. But
no.
It turns out that, yeah, it's just, and maybe I guess that makes it easier for you learning more than one language. Like I remember learning Spanish and being like, oh, great, their alphabet tracks with ours. Like you can just draw a line to each letter and like that's its analog.
Yeah.
For the most part, they're not throwing them all over the place. And I guess that's sort of the point. But man, what would it really take for us to just start over universally? If we've already got these already mapped to each other, let's just leave them mapped to each other. But like, let's come up with a better organization.
Because there are no letters for fluent English speakers, readers, and writers, there are no letters that you flat out don't need. So I feel like if we did your sort of ranked alphabet that I guess you're proposing, yeah. It seems only dangerous to tell people, like, when they're learning the alphabet, oh, it's some of these letters at the end, you're never going to need them. You're not going to use them.
But that's sort of what we're doing with the last four anyway. Like, we get to X, and we pretty much tell the kids, like, don't fucking worry about X. We're like, even when you're, like, in alphabet books where you're giving people, like, A is for apple, B is for bear, you get to X, and it's always a cheat. They're never actually using an X word because they don't want to give kids xylophone. That's too heavy. So they're like, sure. X-ray. Or they say Christmas, spelled Xmas. And you're like, no, that's not – tell them how you really use it. And they're like, no, why? What's the point? No one uses X. It's fine. Anyway, I don't know.
Well, I'm convinced.
I can see, as I'm telling it to you, that if we did change it for English and we're changing it for every other language, how conceited that could be. Because there are probably a lot of languages where they're like, no, X is very important. Like in whatever the version of Spanish is that they use in Catalan, is that what it's called? In like Barcelona, where there's just X's all over the place. They're just like littered with them. I think maybe it might have an effect there. But I don't know. It just feels like we never really tried and we just kept copying and copying. And it's like, hey, somebody along the way has to just say, let's try. Let's just see.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Let's come up with a better alphabet that's easy for kids to learn so that even though they start learning it when they're four, they don't really nail it until they're like 5 years later.
Yeah. I remember in kindergarten where it seems like you learn a letter a day or whatever, or a week or whatever, something incredibly slow. And part of the practice is just like drawing that same letter over and over again and getting to O and just being stoked. You'd be like, this is what you guys should have been doing the whole time with letters. This is a blast to make and it's easy.
Let's do that. Yeah. Anyway, that's my... Thanks for agreeing with me that we can do this. And so I'm going to get started. I'm going to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I would love it if you, a couple episodes from now, pitched your alphabet, your preferred alphabet.
Oh, fuck. Okay, it's a great idea. It would make me feel so good to write my own alphabet.
And here's what I'm curious about. With a last name starting with a B, that put you at the top of a lot of lists going through school, I imagine.
It did. It made me sit in the front of the class a lot.
Yeah.
But it also put me next to Paula Bowman a lot, and she was trouble.
Sure.
She was bad.
What's she up to now? Jail? Streets? Dead?
I don't know where she is. I'd have to go look. Last time I ran into her, she was working at a gas station.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, she was into more mature things than I was.
I see.
And that was so scary to me.
Yeah. That's why she was trouble.
Yeah.
He did not understand her.
Didn't get it. And so she stayed away. Stay away from Paula Bowman. Hey, have you heard about Honey? Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, so no matter where you're shopping, you're likely to find some discount. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands, even food delivery. Now imagine you're shopping at one of your favorite sites. It's this easy. When you go to the checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. And then Honey does the rest. It does all the heavy lifting. It scours the internet and it finds you the best savings possible and applies it immediately to your cart. Honey has found it's over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. I'm really good at math, so let me just crunch the numbers in my head really right now. 17 million members, $2 billion in savings. That's like $1 billion a person. That's a lot. What did Honey save me money on? I recently was shopping for a pair of tights for my daughter. We're getting into the season where we don't want the heavy leggings. We need tights. And I wanted them in bulk because she tends to mess them up. She's a little hard on her clothes. And so I was looking, found the ones that I wanted, and I thought, oh, I'll use Honey. And they saved me $7. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast.
Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ.
I got those post-vacation blues a little bit.
Oh, no. Wait, yeah. Are you back?
I'm back now. Not New York. I don't. I am done with New York forever, I think.
You're just back at his work.
I'm back home, yeah.
That sucks.
I did North Carolina for a little while to see my folks and my brother and nephew. And then did Baltimore to see some friends and go to the aquarium. Can't go to an aquarium without thinking of the best time I went to an aquarium with you. We were in Chicago and we got fucking shit-bombed and went to the aquarium on a whim.
And in a way, I'm mad about it because we have been a lot of different cities together and that we didn't think to do that until Chicago. Is yeah. Like, we could have been doing that everywhere. We could have been like, and this is the day we get drunk and go to the aquarium because it was the most fun we've ever had.
It was such a blast. And like, A, I don't know why we didn't do that more. B, I didn't know why, because we didn't go to Chicago just the two of us. There were more people from Cracked there that I guess were working, I guess doing what we were supposed to do when we were out there. And you and I were like, no, we're going to go to a brewery and then we're stumble over to the aquarium, and we had such a blast.
Yeah, they would go. We go to these conventions, and the conventions, like, there was some genuine interest from everybody else at Cracked who were like, "No, there's a certain artist there that I want to go see." Or
oh, you cut out. I didn't hear what you said.
They're like, "There's a certain artist that they wanted to go see," or there are some prints that they wanted and stuff like that. And like, I'm gonna go walk the convention floor, and not that like I'm not. I like all the stuff that the merch that they have there and the art and everything, but. The idea of walking a convention floor where people just walk up to you was terrifying to me because then I have to be somebody. Like there's expectation there, and I didn't like that. And so we would just go somewhere else.
Yeah,
we'd do another nerdy thing. We'd go to see fish, and you'd tap on the glass and ask them why they fly so dumb.
They were why they fly so dumb.
All right. Well, I do have another story that I want to tell you
All right. And
get your opinion on, but I can start it with a question here. Outside of your Mack Weldon underwear, are you truly happy with your underwear choice? Do you like them? And let me give you a sub question.
Sure.
Do you think they're cool?
I like my Mack Weldon. I have a lot of answers. I do enjoy my Mack Weldons. They're the most enjoyable pair of underwear I've had. They're the first underwear that has made me like brand loyal to a pair of underwear. Mm-hmm. And like, because I would run underwear into the ground and I thought of it as like underwear is not enjoyable or stylish or anything. It's very functional. And then I started getting like nicer underwear. It was like, oh, I like this. And when I realized I would get into the same laundry cycle over and over again where it's like, oh, I'm down to the underwear I hate. A light went on in my brain. It was like, why do you have any underwear you hate? Just, it doesn't need to be, we don't need to be brand loyal. It doesn't need to be Mack Weldon, but like, why do you have a system that by design, a few times a month, you're going to put on old shitty underwear that is unpleasant to you, get rid of it and get something that you like.
You Marie Kondo'd yourself.
Yeah. All that said, I think I'm happiest with nudity or running shorts with the liner built in. I want the least amount of fabric between me and the world, I think, is what I'm learning about myself. I like swim trunks and I like my running shorts. I don't like it so much that I'm freeballing it everywhere I go because I definitely don't like that. I don't want like no underwear and then the zipper of my jeans. That's very unpleasant.
You don't want to be up against the denim.
No, absolutely not. But like broadly speaking, the least amount of fabric between me and the world is what I want. But I don't think society is ready for that yet.
for your gift.
No. Imagine so me walking into the coffee shop, fully displaying my terrible burden. What would they say?
So when you run, you just wear the shorts that have liners in them and nothing underneath those?
Yes. I have a couple of pairs of running shorts still that don't have the liners, so I will wear boxer briefs with those.
Yeah, I've never in my life done that. I have one pair that has that liner in there, and I'm like, it's just so uncomfortable because I got to put underwear under them. I wouldn't even consider the possibility that I would just put on those shorts without underwear. It's really inconceivable to me. Yeah.
Ooh, that's what they're for.
Yeah, I know. It's just like there's a huge mental barrier to that. But that's not my story.
So I just admitted all that for nothing.
I was in the same. I'm more or less in the same boat as you, where I buy new underwear when I'm like, oh shit, the back of these fell apart. or when I'm like, oh wow, there's no more elastic. I can hear the elastic crumbling when I put them on in the waist. That's when I would get new underwear. And I had a real eye-opening moment recently when I was out on a run and wearing underwear, but I saw this guy who was unhoused and he was shitting in the street, but he had pulled his pants all the way down and was like standing kind of upright, like not like crouched, just like standing kind of upright and leaning back, and around his knees, kind of like pinning them together, was his underwear. And I realized in looking at him that they're the exact same underwear that I have, like same color, same. I probably got them from TJ Maxx, same place I got them, or like wherever that, I don't know where he got them, but like they're exact same underwear. And I had this moment where I was like, am I wearing rock bottom underwear? Like, is that problematic for me to even think that I have on?
Maybe.
Is it bad that I was immediately like, I don't want to wear the same underwear as that man? I should be getting something different.
I guess my train of thought would have been, he's wearing inherited underwear from Goodwill or like donation in some other way. Mm-hmm. I would put the positive spin on that. They're like, these were so good that someone didn't throw them out because they stopped working. I was like, well, I'm tired of these, but they've still got use in them, so maybe they can be flipped to someone else.
Right. These got a few more years in them. Maybe that's right. I felt really bad, like as like really having a crisis after it. I saw it because I was like, well, I should get new underwear. And I thought, no, Soren, that's a horrible thing to think. Like, it's just another person. And just because they are worse off than you doesn't mean that like what they're wearing is bad. But it was really like, it was very startling to see somebody wearing something as intimately close to you as identical to yours, where I was like, oh man,
yeah.
Is that me from the future? What is going on here? And I thought, I need new underwear. And I need to check in with you to see, first of all, am I a monster?
No.
Second of all, do you have a pair? What should I get?
I'm all Mac Weldon, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. It's a great brand. I guess if I'm really pressed to think about it, I feel like underwear broadly as a concept, engineers on underwear, if you're listening, I don't think we're fully done. I think keep working on it. I think there's probably a better way, and it's one of those things like printers where you had a good idea, rushed it to market, and it's like, this is a good start, but please keep at it. Like, we're gonna stick with these for a little while, but like, don't think that your job is done. I think you can improve on underwear and printers and whatnot.
And the alphabet.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't stick with that Shakespearean like leather comb bracer or whatever the fuck we had. Codpiece?
Yeah.
Yeah, that we had a codpiece for so long. I mean, I don't know what the purpose of that was, but it seems very roomy.
Yeah.
There's
always something in school where you'll see like, and this is how people used to dress in colonial times. Isn't it crazy? All these stupid layers, and they have all these like ropes that bind everything together. And that's dumb. Thank God they improved after that. And I want to make sure that like the lesson we take from that is, we can always be improving. It's not like, and then we solved it. Because the colonial dorks, they thought they solved it too.
Yeah, they were like buckles. Can you believe it was the world before we had buckles on our hats and shoes?
Yeah.
We were living in caves, basically. Yeah. It does seem like we need to continue. And there are people out there who at least are like pretending it. Like they're like, we've reinvented underwear. And I'm like, yes, great. What did you do? And then I look at it, I'm like, no, man, that's underwear. I've seen that before. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We did contour side paneling. No, that just looks like underwear to me, man.
You're solving a problem that I never said I had. I don't know what my problem is yet, but we haven't figured it out.
I have a friend who's a venture capitalist. You've met him, Ed Wilson.
Yeah.
And he works for a venture capitalist company. And like they're constantly looking at new products and testing them and being like, yeah, we would invest in this.
And that's what venture capitalist means? He's shark?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they're investing. Cool. Yeah, they're helping small businesses and like taking a cut. And so there was one company that came to him and there was like underwear. And he was in the same boat where he's like, I don't know, man, underwear is underwear. And they're like, well, we'll send you a pair. And they sent him like a bag of these things and he put one on. And he was like, oh, I see. I see what's going on here. And the way that the stitching had worked and like the pocketing of it had worked, wearing a pair of this underwear makes your penis look huge. It just like, it's very flattering the way that they're designed. There's no hugging like at that one particular crucial area. There's just like it bulbouses out.
Yeah. I mean, oldest trick in the book, gonna be hard to market probably. Like it seems like you just have to send it to like just put this on.
Right.
And walk around for a little while and then you'll get it.
Yeah,
we'll all wink at each other.
You can't do it in the commercial.
No.
Because then everyone sees it and the jig is up.
Right.
So you've got to like be like, look, just take some. Like take some and try them and then you will see. And I think he went to his wife and he's like, hey, Jill, look at this. And she was like, oh my God. Immediately she saw it. And he was like, yeah, these are great. I have no idea how you sell them. Everyone will want them, but I have no idea how you tell them what they are. That's it, Dan. That's it for me.
That's it? Okay. Let's see. Oh, I have an update for you.
Okay.
Do you remember what we talked about last time we did this podcast?
I never know what we talk about when we do this podcast.
We talked about... I had a mustache as a bit.
Oh.
To surprise my family.
Yes. Oh, I'm very curious about this. I want to hear how it went with your, let's see, you wanted to see
my mom, my
mom
dad, my brother, and my nephew.
Yes. Yeah. And let me guess, first of all, who was honest with you? I bet your nephew was the most honest.
No.
Okay.
And I'm going to get right to it. The only one who said anything was my brother. And like, I walked in there. Mustache first, as one does. Yeah. And neither of my parents noticed anything. In their defense, like, it's a house full of people and we're all running around. And I was starting to think, like, maybe it's just not as pronounced as I thought it was. Maybe I should have planned this out better. And then before hello, my brother says mustache. David sees me and he goes, mustache! I'm like, yeah, all right, good, thank you. Good, someone understands this bit that I haven't fully figured out yet.
Now, when he said mustache,
and the other person,
did he say mustache, or did he go
no
mustache?
No. like in the way that Ed's wife screamed, "Oh my God!"
Yes.
It's just like
okay.
Mustache was the sound that came out of him in light of this new information. It's like a thing is different now. I'm like, that's right, you spotted it.
You did it.
And I think, like, in my parents' defense, I think we they're just sweet people, and all the my brothers and I, we all have had like different versions of scruffy faces for a while, and I think my parents just like either they don't notice or they're like kind enough where it's just like he's doing this thing now and that's fine, and like don't say anything, just be happy that he's here. The other person that I think did notice, we were FaceTiming with my sister-in-law and my niece, because they didn't do the trip with us, and the niece just kept demanding to see me. And like she FaceTimed because she wanted to see her brother. But then as soon as I got into the picture, anytime I leave, she'd be like, "No, uncle," and she would see me, and then she would laugh. And I think it's mustache. I think she's a smart cookie who, even if she couldn't articulate, like, "He's look at that ridiculous mustache," she just knew, like, "Uncle's being stupid again. Let me good joke, uncle."
I think that there's probably something to that. My dad has a mustache and has had one my whole life. And when he's got MS, so he doesn't get a lot around great. So he doesn't come to visit a ton. And my mom has come to visit quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And so my daughter, who knows my mom way better than she knows my dad, she will still ask for him specifically when she's like, she'll like pick up one of our phones and be like, "Papa, Papa," like call him. We're like, okay. And we just like didn't get it. We're like, why is she's so invested in Papa. And my poor mom, who was like, has really put the time in with this girl, still when she's on the screen, Gilly is going, "Papa, Papa." And they're like, "Hi, Gilly, how are you?" "No, Papa." And then when she sees him, all she does is just stare at him. And I'm like, oh, what is it about him? And I think it might be the mustache. I think it might be that it's such a... It's something
an interesting thing.
Right. And it is interesting. It's novel to them because no one in the world has mustaches right now.
Yeah.
And here's this person with something like fur on their lip. And it's got to be fascinating.
I think when I'm looking at this at my 2-year-old niece and I've got dark framed eyeglasses and this mustache, and she's like, "Let me just get a look. Let me just take in all these extra lines that uncle has on his, all these different shapes going on."
Yeah. They don't know it yet, but like there's some platonic ideal of Groucho Marx that's like the height of comedy, where it's like you match glasses and mustache, and there's just something innate in us that's like, "Ha ha, that's a good one."
Oh, you just cut out for me.
Oh, yeah. When you have my internet's bad here. There's just something innate in us when we see glasses and a mustache that we're like, "Aha, now that's comedy."
You said your internet's bad there. Are you somewhere else right now?
No, it's just, you know, it goes in and out. It gets bad sometimes. There's like weeks that it's bad. It's like an old sports injury. It's like every once in a while, "Oh, my internet's flaring up. Not good this week. I think it's going to rain." I don't know why it does this. I had to pitch my episode for our show, for American Dad, the other day to our showrunner. And I got right next to the modem and it didn't matter. And it really was like, it was so frustrating in the pitch when I would be like in the middle of it and talking. And all of a sudden everyone on the screen would just be like, we can't hear you.
Yikes.
I'd be like, all right, let me go back. Let me jump out of it for a second. I'm like, let's get back into the idea of it.
I'm so nervous about that because I never want to be back in an office again for the rest of my life. I'm very happy work from home, but every once in a while we'll be on a Zoom call and I'll see someone who I know is also living somewhere in the country that they really like to be in, some remote peaceful place. And I see them start to pitch something and then go in and out. And then I see everyone else's face in the Zoom. And I was like, oh no. And now he's just cut back in to laugh at his own joke and no one gets it. And I was like, this is bad news. This is really bumming me out.
It's really hard, man. I think it's all the dead. I think we have this huge cemetery hill by our house that just blocks us from the rest of the world somehow. And it's my internet, no matter what, there's just every once in a while, it's like, "Well, we're not going to work this week. We're off."
Sorry, I'm not pulling my weight on this episode. This, the vacation stuff, it's not, I don't know if you get this way, where once you get back from a vacation, it's just like, just a little bit, a bummer until your next thing.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, it's that moment when you get back and you're like, okay, what next?
Yeah.
What's
even
the next
though I'm
thing?
Not. Here's a question I have, because I don't know if I'm totally great at vacations. Some of them I am. Like when we went to Zion and we were hiking, or I do like a backpacking trip with my brother every year, or like, you know, something where it's like a specific destination with a job the whole time. I could do those. But this trip to Baltimore, because I was like seeing my friends for dinner and hangs and stuff, but the rest of it, I was just myself staying in an Airbnb. And I do this thing whenever I'm on one of these solo vacations where I get these strange vacation goggles where I'm like, this is an opportunity where like a child's idea of vacation. I don't have to do the things that I normally do. And I think that's the wrong impulse, because I get to this Airbnb and I'm like, I'm on vacation. That means I don't have to run and I don't have to cook. And I, and like the things that I like to do, I forget that those aren't my job, and they're not like chores that I dread. I like sit around and eat delivery food. And I'm like, ugh, I can't wait to go home and like run and make myself a salad.
Interesting, because I've never in my life, oh well, that's not true. I was gonna say I've never taken a vacation by myself. I've been on vacation only once by myself, and it was when I traveled abroad, Daniel. For a month. We had a month off of school, and I traveled around Europe by myself.
You said, sorry, just for our listeners, you said traveled abroad, and you said it with a whole lot of like smugness about it. I just want to make sure I'm thinking, this is the trip where you ran out of money and slept on a park bench in Europe, right?
That, yes, it is, Daniel.
That's, yeah, okay.
This was that trip.
All right, proceed.
Abroad. Yeah, where I was chased out by some weirdos from the Rome Forum. And I screamed at them because I didn't know what else to do and I wanted to look scary. And I survived on a jar of peanut butter.
Yeah. So you get it. You take a vacation and you behave irrationally.
And that trip, it made me realize like, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at like planning. I spent so much of that time just sitting in train stations, trying to catch trains and stuff. I'm not great at traveling alone because I need someone there who helps dictate what we do. Yeah. If I don't have that, then I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. Oh, there's a TV. Oh, then I'm on vacation. I'll just sit around and watch TV. And I don't take full advantage of the, like the actual place that I've gone.
Yeah. I certainly did watch a bunch of TV.
What was that?
I certainly did watch a bunch of TV. That was one of the, like, I still made sure I squeezed in a couple of runs in this Baltimore trip because I like running, but like I left my dumbbells at home because I thought like it's vacation, why would you work out? And like once I'm there, I'm like, well, working out was like, it's a thing I choose to do. Yeah. It's a thing I choose to do that occupies some amount of time in the day, and now I don't have it and I don't know what to replace it with.
Right. I did find that it was really fun when we would go on trips that we would go run. Like we ran through Nashville and we're like, we don't know where we were going or anything. We were just like, let's just go on a run. And we ran. We're like, oh, that was it. That was the whole city. We ran through it. Okay, guess we're at the other end now. Let's go back. And you get to see it in a new way because you're not in a car. You're like moving past things slowly. And you kind of make mental notes of the things around you where you're like, ah, I want to go see that later. That's very interesting.
I liked that when I was running around Baltimore. There's some great parts of Baltimore. I was really hoping to do... I was looking around, they didn't have it. I wanted to do one of those like Sex and the City bus tours, but for The Wire, where I go to like all the major Wire spots. They didn't have that.
Great. Let's go make $1 million. That's like, people still love The Wire.
Yeah. What would we show them? This is where the towers were?
Oh, we'd go to the docks.
The docks?
Yeah. We'd spend most of the time on season two, and everyone would be like, oh, that's kind of... I spent a lot of time on season two. It wasn't my favorite season. They really cared a lot about Frankie Sabatka or whatever his name was.
And this is the bar where Ziggy's goose died. Jesus, which one? Who was Ziggy? Yeah.
This is where they would go to get their raw egg and a beer. Oh, okay. Yeah, I would think that would be great. I think we could make a lot of money. Wait, do you think a lot of that stuff is gone now that was in The Wire originally? Like those neighborhoods have been transformed?
I don't know. I mean, the towers came down in the show.
Yeah.
So whether they were up in the first place, I don't even...
Oh, man.
I wouldn't know now.
I would love to go on a tour like that. I'm surprised that they don't. It's like, that's probably what put Baltimore on the map, right?
Yeah. Well, that about wraps her up, huh?
That'll do it.
Thanks so much for listening. The show is Quick Question. You know that because you're listening to it. You can find Soren at Soren underscore LTD. You can find the show at QQ underscore Soren and Dan on Twitter. You can email the show at QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. Our theme song is by the fabulous Me Rex. Check them out anywhere music can be checked out. We are recorded today by our special guest, Jacob. Last time Jacob recorded with us, he declined to be featured on the show, an impulse that I think is wise. And has that carried through? Have you decided to maintain your silence? I take that as a no. Take it away, Jacob.
It really is like, well, there's just nobody there.
Yes.
We just made Jacob up.
All right, bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
Who did you get?
I think you'll have a great time here.